Okay, so this meeting is about what is a social centre. So we can say a little bit about what a social centre is. We're going to be running this meeting for about an hour, and the priority of, in terms of discussion would be on what we can then do in Sheffield in terms of setting up a social centre. So I'm just going to say a little bit at the beginning and then get other people to chip in about experiences of social centres that they've got in Sheffield or in other places. We can give a little bit of history about what's been going on in Sheffield, about this free school weekend, and about what we might be able to do in the future if people are interested. So there is a yellow leaflet on the table about what is Sheffield Social Centre and contains some general information about what a social centre is. So a social centre is essentially a physical space for different activities to go on in and people to meet collectively, and there can be a range of different types of things that can go on within it. So the focus is on self-management and self-organisation to have a free space for meetings and discussions and gigs and cafes and crash facilities, bookshops, bars, bike workshops. A range of different activities can go on within a social centre depending on what those involved want to do. But the emphasis is on self-organisation. So what differs with the social centre from other spaces is that it is a self-managed space. And so there's been a few attempts at setting up social centres in Sheffield over the years, going back a long time, and there are various social centres that run in other cities throughout the country, some of which have been going for a very long time, such as the one in 12 in Bradford. It's been going since 1981, and there's other social centres in Nottingham and Leeds and London and Brighton and Manchester and so forth. So they can be temporary or long-lasting. Within Sheffield, there have just been fairly temporary social centres. There was a rented one that lasted for about a year. There have been a number of different squatted social centres, the most long-lasting being Matilda, which was in Matilda Street in 2005, which lasted until 2006, so that was a year-long squat, and that was a big building which a number of you might have been to, and that had various things going on in it. And since then, since 2006, there have been, I think, four or five fortnight-long squatted social centres, the most recent of which was last year in October. So the people who have been involved in putting on this free school were involved in putting on that squatted social centre last year. Do you want to say anything about that, Mike? You were involved in that?
Do I have to come forward? Is that all right? Basically from like summer, was it 2000? Yeah, it'd be summer 2009, we started kind of discussing that we wanted to have a social centre in Sheffield. Some of the people like involved in that, those initial meetings, had already been involved in like Matilda's and stuff before that meeting. But yeah, basically what we decided was that we wanted to squat a place, you know, partly for financial reasons, but also just, you know, politically speaking. It does have kind of like a political side of it, you know, talking about like how many empty spaces there are in Sheffield, and the fact that I believe it's like something like the second most empties in the UK.
Commercials.
Yeah, are in Sheffield next to London. You know, so that's a lot. And that's eventually what we ended up doing. We ended up squatting. It was two different buildings, both for a week each. The first one was like a university-owned property, which was Piscar House near Broom Hill, and the second one was an old NHS building, an old children's hospital building. It was a really successful 2 weeks, but I guess like coming out of it, we very much kind of moved away from the whole squatting emphasis. I think largely because of the amount of energy it takes to kind of keep something like that going. You need a lot of people involved and a lot of people kind of rotating you know, like staying in the place and keeping it going and stuff. You can't just like lock it up at the end of the night and then just kind of go on, you know, go on your other business. You know, you've got to stay with it constantly. And just the amount of harassment we got from, you know, the courts and the law and what have you as well. I mean, we were kicked out of both spaces after a week. And the first time, a couple of us actually got effectively handed a very large fine, you know, for being involved in the centre and, you know, mistaken. It was a mistake, but they gave their names at court and basically got blamed for the whole thing and got court costs. That was dropped eventually, but, you know, it was a bit of a scary time for them. And yeah, so like after that, we just decided, well, we want to set somewhere up which isn't going to be like under constant threat. And you know, that's where we, you know, there's places that I've rented, but they've had a lot of issues as well in terms of like you know, you're giving loads of money to a landlord, and you know, you're not really, they can take it away from you any time. Basically, you can turn around and say they want the space back. So we decided like we want to kind of follow the way of like Sumer and places like that, and basically set up a kind of permanent space that's ours, and that's kind of what we're doing at the moment. We, you know, we're working towards that. Yeah, I don't know what else to kind of say really. Is there anything I've kind of missed out with that?
No. I mean, the collective carried on meeting after the squats last autumn, with a view to, as Mike said, buying the building, buying a building, and along the way, that collective is also interested in doing short-term projects like this one, the free school, which is to give a kind of a, you know, an inspirational example of what could be going on within a social centre within Sheffield. So. Social centres can provide, they're both a kind of a means to further other goals. So they can be a space for other organisations to meet in and to use as a resource base for achieving certain, the kind of change and the kind of world that we want to create, but also they are an end in themselves. So the work that's involved in running a social centre and to actually do a self-organised project is an experiment in managing our own lives collectively, and that's part of the motivation behind it. It's not, you know, it's not just like an external thing that is as a means to an end. The idea is that we're coming together and we're organising ourselves and we're seeing how we could do things differently. So if people are up for being involved with that project, then, you know, we can use this space now to talk about possible options of, you know, ways we could go forward, any questions that people have got about the concept, or anything really. So kind of opening it up. Did you want to add anything?
I think you've summed it up quite well, actually. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, we're talking about buying a space, and that seems to be the direction that most people, the collective, seems to have sort of focused on, but obviously that isn't set in stone yet, and, you know, if there was a possibility to do something different, because obviously buying a building, you know, you can't pretend that it's not bureaucratic, because it is going to be bureaucratic, and there is going to be, you know, sort of a lot of paperwork and such like involved with it. So yeah, just to say, like, it's not, this is a space like to talk about different ways of doing things as well. So if people have sort of any leads or any inspiration, then that's also equally welcome.
So initially, are there any questions that anyone has about the concept of a social centre, or any questions about like how things might have gone with other ones that were happening here in Sheffield?
I could add a little bit more about what Becky said about a social centre being an end in itself, just to try and like stimulate some debate. It seems fairly obvious when you start to cast your mind around the world that we live in, that all the spaces in which you interact, social spaces where we meet up with each other, where we have a laugh, where we organise amongst ourselves, are determined pretty much by a vested interest somewhere along the line. So I guess commonly people meet up in pubs. Pubs are pretty nice places. They tend to be warm and you get to drink beer and there's, you know, quite a lot of fun around. But again, they're determined pretty much by the landlord trying to sell you some beer, and they're maybe determined by a promoter promoting some music. All this, it's all for good ends and that. But it's not people coming together and sharing their ideas on an equal basis. Even people's homes, most of the time, most people rent, a lot of people own their own houses. There's a dimension there between the people involved in that meeting that is unequal. And what you can achieve in a social centre, a place like this, where people come together on a completely even footing, is that ability to not have a vested interest and not achieve a power kind of hierarchy over each other. So I guess what we could maybe chat about now is how people can see that happen in Sheffield, and maybe point out where they think, you know, why they think that needs to change, maybe why. Someone can answer the floor.
I would just add as well. I mean, so far it seems like it all sounds kind of theoretical. You know, it's like talking about ideas and things here. But in practice, when we had that space for those 2 weeks, you know, it was fucking amazing, actually. You know, it was just great having this space that was kind of like, for that period, it was ours. And we were kind of putting our ideas into practice and trying to do things in an egalitarian way. And it was just a really exciting thing to be part of. And it did inspire us all to want to carry it on and to make it much kind of longer term. You know, like in practice, it really worked. And it was really inspiring and exciting.
So could you guys that have tried this explain your difficulties, or if there's any way that you can get hold of property or use a space that isn't going to have sort of a rent bill attached to it? Because that then leads us into all sorts of difficulties and vested interest in trying to keep it going and spending all our time trying to get enough money together to run it, rather than actually be free to think and, you know, be ourselves. That's been our struggle for years, and we sort of end up buying a house or buying into the system, really. But now we've got a house that we hold the deeds to, and we've got a used garden, and I'm thinking about, in our own little circle, it's not quite what we're talking about here, but the idea of maybe having a big caravan and what you can do in terms of temporary buildings or something that we can do with a plot of land which isn't going to be taken from us soon or charged huge rent for. Have you got any thoughts on what kind of properties or what kind of space can we have that hasn't got that cost attached to it?
Yeah, you're raising really important points, and there are degrees of compromise along the way. You know, once you're not doing a squat and you're owning the building or you're renting the building, then, you know, there's requirements that you have to meet, legal requirements that you have to meet, and as you say, you've got to pay the bills. Possible options are to reduce those bills as much as possible, and what's happened in some other cities is to, given that there is, like, this, you know, the state of the economy at the moment means that there are buildings which you can't charge, you know, rent that you previously could for, so the owners of those buildings, be they the council or private owners, are happy to rent them for like a peppercorn rent, a very low rent, for certain, but then with strings attached to what can go on in those spaces. So typically those spaces that get those very low rent deals tend to be art spaces, so they're happy to let them for people to exhibit their art, because that's still preferable for them to be getting a little bit of money. The building is maintained to a certain degree and it's less of an eyesore, and then they're less likely to you know, have those buildings spotted or damaged. So it's in the owner's interest to do that kind of deal, and then it can be in the people who use that space's interest, because then they get a low rent deal. And you can get agreements which last for periods of time, so it's not like week by week, you know. So there is an element of security. It's not the same as, like you say, for your own situation. Once you own the deeds of your house, then, you know you've got control over that building. But still, you're having to, if you want to then build an extension, you have to comply with building regulations and so forth. So you're still working within a system, but, you know, the more ownership you have of it, the more freedom you have within that. But other people can chip in.
I suppose the other model we've been looking at is actually to collectively buy a space. Maybe going along the lines of, Mike mentioned briefly, the Sumac Centre in Nottingham, that owns the building in which they operate a social centre out of. Now, I think, I don't know exactly the ins and outs of it, but they mostly supplement this, or pay the rent, or pay their mortgage back, by renting out some space above the Sumac Centre for people to live in. They run a bar. There's a collective, a cooperative that runs out of the basement called Veggies, which makes vegan food. It sells it, you buy it, beanies, actually they make some nice sausage mix. So we were looking at how possibly that might be done in Sheffield. We were looking at the cooperative model. So getting a few people together, setting up a legal co-op. What's the term for it?
Industrial
Province Society. Yeah, exactly. And then from there, you'd have to raise loan stock to fund them to pay the initial deposit. So that would mean, much like a business would raise loan stock, you'd provide an investment opportunity for everyone, anyone around, any potential investor. And so you could raise the money to pay the deposit. You'd get a mortgage from a building society, and you'd might be able to get the loans around. There's a network across the country called Radical Roots, I'm sure many of you know about. You could join, you can get a loan from them, they provide a lot of support. It all sounds very, well, quite mainstream, and I think it is in many ways. There's continuously this kind of tension between the necessity for autonomy in the space that you want to create and the necessity for sustainability as well. It's really hard in the world we live in to try and marry those two things together. But I guess that's a perfect forum to try and get people's fears and hopes of that about and out in the open. So I think the big advantage of owning a space is that you can achieve continually increased autonomy as you own it further, as you remove your dependency upon the building society or the bank and the creditors that have loaned you the money in the first place. Eventually achieve some pretty autonomous space run by the people. And obviously the model of a cooperative is the kind of ideal for a social centre because it inherently has a flat hierarchical structure, a non-hierarchical structure, where you can build in all the rules, you can initially set it up in such a way as to not allow power differentials to be created. You can set it up, you write in the rules that you're going to use consensus decision making for all major decisions. You're going to have all members as directors. You can have all these things. You can write that in to start off.
Yeah, just to add a bit more to that, a really big advantage of buying the building is, I think, the autonomy that it can give you further down the line. And there are a lot of sources of funding out there who would probably be very happy to give money to something like that, because at the end of the day, a lot of the things that we want as a group, mutual aid, solidarity, community solidarity, I think a lot of people want those things at the end of the day. I think they're very important to people, and I think that there are funding sources out there who specifically will fund community projects. And so if we can construct this as a community project, which basically it is, then I think that's a really good starting point. And obviously Fred mentioned Radical Roots as well. They're very sort of set up to give loans to people, to groups like ours, people who don't necessarily have much money to do these things, but it's been going for ages, and the more people join Radical Roots, the stronger it gets, and the more money there is in the sort of collective bank to get help from, basically. And I reckon as well, just because of the economic situation and because of, public sector cuts and things like that, I think social centres are going to be really, really important in future years, because people will need a resource they can turn to. They will need somewhere where they can, get help get ideas, come for a meal, come for a chat, you know, come for advice. And I just think that it's such a big opportunity that, you know, we almost can't afford to miss, because this is a time where people are going to suffer, but, you know, it's also a time when we can build something which is going to strengthen, like, community ties, because, you know, we've lost so many community ties through the world that we live in, through just, you know, working for ourselves and stuff. So I think it's a really important a really good way to, a good time for change, I suppose. Yeah.
Coming back to your point really about the economic realities, yeah, things cost money and there's bills to be paid, and like putting on an event like this, there's very small bills to be paid, but there's still some. And, you know, you can just do a benefit fundraiser and then that's it, and that's done and dusted, and you've raised your costs. You have a permanent space, there's ongoing costs, and you need to have ongoing ways of raising money. And essentially, like, the more people that are involved, if you've got an adequate space, then you can have lots of different income streams through things that you would be possibly wanting to do anyway, like, you know, having a cafe, having a bookshop, renting out the space to groups that need to have some space, and, you know, giving them kind of like a cheaper rent, but it's like then a regular income stream. So, and those things don't have to be a complete nightmare if there's enough people involved. So long as you've got a decent space and there's enough people involved, then it's possible to, you know, it's clearly viable in that other social centres are doing it, maybe just scrabbling along all the time, but they are doing it, and they're not. Raising their money through doing things that make them feel massively compromised. So, you know, there might be like renting residential space, or renting space to community groups, or renting space to a nursery, or running a workshop, and so on and so forth. So it's not impossible, and it doesn't have to be massively compromising, although obviously there is a degree of compromise as soon as you know, engage with the system and don't just like operate entirely outside of it.
There's been lots of talk about sort of buying a space over renting a space, and it seems that from what's been said, that's the direction that the social centre in Sheffield would be taking. But could you tell us a little bit more about the discussion that went on between buying versus renting, and the discussions that went on around that?
Well, like about a year ago, or a bit more maybe, there were separate groups of people looking into renting and buying. And pretty mundane reason, I guess, in the end. We just looked around a few rentable spaces in the city centre, and obviously they were really expensive, even the sort of crummy small shops on the mall, still fairly expensive. And it just seemed like an unnecessary middle step, which would still involve having to raise money, but wouldn't have the long-lasting benefits of putting that work in towards a permanent space, I guess. That's basically it, really, I think.
The reason why I'm interested is I'm connected with a social centre in Bradford, not the one in 12, it's called the Treehouse, and we rent our space. And at the moment, it's highlighted one of the big benefits of renting over buying is that we've had a lot of structural work and things like that that needed to be done. It was quite expensive, but we didn't have to pay for it, like the landlords paid for it, and it was really important things like a lot of the kitchen got refurbished and toilets being repaired and things that need to be done, otherwise we couldn't open to sort of open the cafe and things. Whereas if you compare that at the moment to I know some troubles that the 1 in 12 are having in Bradford, they're having a lot of structural damage with their roof going on, and I think it's, I don't know the exact figures, but it's thousands and thousands of pounds that they're having to like pay on top of bills and on top of sort of the bar collective wages and things like that. So I didn't know if that was something that was considered in the chats, but that's a very big a positive thing for renting over buying.
ask a question directly about the treehouse project. Can you tell us what revenue streams you have, how you pay the rent, basically, in a nutshell?
Well, there's lots of different ways. We have a vegan and vegetarian cafe that's open sort of Monday to Friday. We've recently opened a shop space that's a lot of fair trade items and a lot of organic items, and that shop collective pay a portion of the rent. We do a lot of events and things like that from our volunteer groups and organise sort of meals in the space and gigs and things like that. There's room hire as well. It's quite minimal effort, and you just need to let people in and out and things like that. So, and outside catering as well. Sort of catering for functions. We're really near the university, so we've done recently quite a lot of work at the university, and that's a really good way to bring in some money too.
One response to what you were saying about the benefits of renting being the landlord doing work for you, that's only a benefit if the landlord's actually willing to do the work for you, which often isn't the case. I'm from Manchester, and I was, not heavily involved but slightly involved in a rented social centre in Manchester a few years ago called The Basements. That closed down because there was some damage that happened to the building as a result of a fire in a neighbouring building, and basically the landlord was either unable or unwilling to do the repairs necessary to bring that building back into a state that it could be used as a social centre, and so that died. And also, I think there are advantages to having to do the structural work and stuff yourself, because it means that you've got to learn those skills. It means that, you know, you've got to actually practice DIY culture in actually learning those skills, and, you know, reclaiming those skills from the, you know, from the professional elites that they currently belong to. And, you know, I think those are skills that people are going to need. We're in a collapsing capitalist economy. You know, people are going to need to know that kind of thing to, you know, as the woman over there was saying, to build viable communities in the future. So although it's difficult and time consuming, I think, you know, it is important to actually, you know, to actually have those skills within a social centre collective, and what better way than by actually learning by doing, you know.
I was going to say, is there any way of doing it without paying the banks?
The way would be to not be dependent on a commercial loan, and so it would be like, well, what other source of money? So if it was possible just to gather money from amongst ourselves, then that would obviously be preferable. And there are places that have that privilege that haven't had to go to commercial banks. But, you know, unless people are about to come forward with a bunch of checkbook, then,
I was just going to add to that, the importance of fundraising and raising the profile of the social centre, because once you start telling people about the social centre, letting them know what it is and creating a bit of a buzz about the word, then people will be more likely to support it. And we've done fundraisers in the past, quite small scale fundraisers, so nothing massive, nothing like encompassing, you know, the entire city of Sheffield, but it's just a start, you know. It's a good way to raise awareness, get a bit of money as well, tell people about the project. I think that's just another really important arm, if you like, of the project, is just having people focused on the sort of the building itself, but also having people saying, right, how are we going to make this really exciting, and how are we going to get people on board? Because I think it's still quite a niche project at the moment, and it kind of needs to get a bit more, not mainstream, I don't want to use that word, but just more out there.
beginning bit, was that did we go around and have any, like, just people raising up ideas of what a social centre is in terms of what its functions are or anything like that? Because I'm aware that this weekend was one of the ideas behind it was to kind of have a little example of what a permanent social centre could provide, but I mean it's by no means an absolute manifestation of that, so I'm sure there are lots of ideas for things that people who have been involved so far haven't had, that other people here might have. It's running, seeing it's being recorded as well, if we could
with the question being what would you like to see in a social centre?
Yeah, what could a social centre do, what could happen in a social centre, what
that would be a good thing,
etc, etc. Yeah, that would be a good thing.
Do you want to start?
Okay, I've had conversations recently with a few people who are one person who builds these tricycles, pedal powered tricycles for ferrying big loads across the city, but he's only working out of a small garage, and a number of people like that who would really benefit from a communal workshop space to produce useful items for people in Sheffield. And I think that a social centre could definitely accommodate something like that. That's one idea.
Well, I'm new to the idea of social centres, really. That's why I've stopped down today to find out more about it, and what's certainly got interest in the discussions we've got going off over the weekend. And it's also interesting to find out more. I think that's what you're getting at, more depth about what you actually intend to be offering and what's the agenda. Is it like focusing on education and getting more people involved in issues? Is it campaigning politically, or, you know, is it more about the environmental issues? Or sort of what, is there a fixed agenda? Is it all sort of very open and what you want to talk about?
So just a bit of clarity, which is just to distinguish the free school and the social centre. So the free school is, like, the idea was having a weekend of free skill shares, discussions, kind of exchange of, you know, ideas and abilities, and that could take place in a free environment where and as non-hierarchically as possible, so that, you know, everyone was able to, you know, anyone's been able to put on a workshop should they want to do so, and obviously were they aware that it was happening. So the concept of a free school is all about the sharing of ideas and skills. The social centre is about getting space in which various things can happen within it. So they're kind of slightly different things. At the moment what we're talking about in this go-round is like, okay, so if we have this space, what would we like to be going on within it? Maybe we would like to have things similar to what's going on in the free school. Maybe we would like to have more ongoing things. So all the things that have been happening here today are like one-offs. Whereas if you have a permanent space, you can have like groups that meet weekly. You can have a development that goes on over time, which obviously isn't possible in a weekend. So the two things are quite different, and it may be that you want to have similar things going on in both spaces, but not necessarily. Do you want to say what you would like to go on?
Yeah, I think we feel similarly. We're very new to this concept and just sort of turned up because some of the things that are mentioned in the leaflet were attractive to us as people, my wife and I, who both have really struggled for a long time to try and or longed for a group of people where we're not governed by commercial interests and really want to be free from that and not being driven by a need for money, which is why my question earlier was a lot about how we keep out of a system that requires a lot of money from us, which then makes us have to throttle our brother to better get the money to better pay the big boy who wants to fix a roof for us at a large price. And so I'm a dreamer, but I dream of actually trying to keep out of that as much as we possibly can. With my experience, we ended up having a master accidentally that we had to keep happy and we had to keep sweet in order to get stuff done. And I really want to echo what I feel is quite important in my own life is learning skills that I might need in order to be able to function properly, rather than feeling half the time we have to rely on these professionals all the time and as much as possible to get out of that. So I'm really excited in this, what you're saying, and I'd like to be involved, and I think it is going to be shaped a lot by who we are as a group that's setting it up and what our needs are. But to my own personal mind, I think it's quite important to have a play area, an area where we can play and have fun, as well as be arty and whatever, just so that we've got a chance to come together and enjoy each other. And when you enjoy each other, you tend to start having ideas and sharing feelings and emotions and longings, and it starts to form a, have a purpose, rather than just hoping we can find purpose once we've got this space or something.
Did you want to chip anything at the back?
I'm in group to try and set up a social centre in Manchester. I mean, there's absolutely loads of stuff I could say. I mean, the obvious things like what's already been mentioned. I think one of the main things motivating us in Manchester is that there are loads and loads of activist groups all around the city, and I get the impression the same is true in Sheffield, just like in Leeds, Bradford, a lot of places. That all these activist groups exist. Some of them sort of overlap with each other some of the time, not necessarily all of them knowing what the others are up to and what's going on. And a social centre, certainly my vision of it, is something that could provide a hub, a connection for kind of cross-pollination between all these different movements, and that can even happen organically just by different groups meeting in the same space and, you know, seeing each other's flyers around the place. But also, you know, if it does become like the equivalent of the local pub that people from all these movements just, you know, come to for a drink and chat, or you know, to music events, films, whatever, it provides a space in which conversations and connections can start happening between all these different movements, and, you know, just cross-pollination between, you know, already in the few months that our group has been going in Manchester, at a fairly similar stage to the group in Sheffield, you know, people have met each other that are involved in completely different types of activism, from disability rights to direct action on climate change issues to anti-fascist action to, you know, all kinds of things that you know are all existing as activist movements, but not necessarily connecting all that well with each other. And, you know, even without having a space yet, lots of exciting conversations have happened. And I think when we've got a space, you know, that'll just keep going, that'll just get bigger and better. So, you know, that's, yeah, connection between different things that are going on, and seeing the common purpose in all of them, I suppose.
We just carry on going round.
Okay. I guess it follows on from...
You're involved in social, if you said one thing that's really good that goes on in your social.
Yeah, it's sort of connected with the previous point that we really like to see sort of an open and flexible space. So, I don't know, for, like, the space could be adapted to lots of different needs from lots of different groups. So, for instance, one night it could be to like a cinema, and then another night it would be for local support groups to get together, and then another time it could be a gig space and things like that. And it's nice to see that diversity, bringing different people into the same space. And also, I mean, in terms of helping pay the bills, it means that there's lots of activities that if one becomes less viable, you can concentrate on another activity, and it helps sort of the social centre be flexible with what's needed from the community.
I'm going to be really quick. Some of the ideas that Ruth has put forward, you know, really hit a note, because I think not just in sort of society as it stands now under capitalism, we don't just have the sort of poverty and you know, literal sort of deprivation poverty, we also have access to culture. Ordinary people are increasingly being denied the ability to go out to watch a film, you know, to be able to see a play, you know, being denied access to skills and training and education. And I think it's wonderful that we can come together and we can
share these things and deal with some of the culture and policy, desocialisation that happens in capitalism. And also I think the social centre movement gives us an idea of an almost embryonic movement, what a better society could be, an alternative to capitalism where we could work cooperatively. So it raises the bar, and I feel very enthused about the project, and I hope it flourishes and works really well.
Just a right. I would talk about.
What's a social centre? What would you like to see?
Okay, does anyone talk about renewable energy or kind of.
Renewable energy,
no? Because I got some contents from people from Nottingham. They are, I don't know if you know them, they are the V3 Power. Do you know them? But you know about them? And they do kind of do it yourself, power and things like this. And like to be interested in that kind of thing. And they're coming to Sheffield, I think, in 2 weeks time, so I tried to talk to them if they can make like kind of free lessons of how to build sustainable energy power systems. And I'm not sure. I think so. Sorry, I just got to see it.
I think what maybe attracts me the most is the possibility of a social centre being a necessary social experiment for things to come. And certainly in the short-term current climate of hugely reduced costs and expenditure in the public sector and investment in society in general by the government. There's actually quite a beautiful irony in that, I think, in that that's precisely what we're doing. We're removing the necessity for a government to invest in society because we're doing it ourselves. And I don't think this is George Osborne's intention, but it's actually kind of coinciding quite well. But instead of removing public sector spending in order to pave the way for corporations and private capital to stamp people all over us, it's actually we're kind of putting ourselves in the blockage there and doing it ourselves. And the way that we can organise in a social centre, in that it can be completely self-selecting, anyone who wants to be involved can come and be involved. Anyone who wants to be a decision maker can come and be a decision maker on an equal basis from anyone else. Is going to be exactly the kind of social organisation we need in the face of this short-term crisis and in the longer term with issues such as climate change and peak oil looming over the horizon. So that's what we can do on a really small scale by organising the social.
I think pretty much the way I feel, things that I feel have already been said actually, but I guess in short what I want to see is people kind of coming into a space and like after having visited it a few times and just kind of got acquainted with the ideas and stuff, just kind of become radicalised, you know, just have a space where people can have that, you know, can just come across those ideas and things and, you know, start to become aware of their own power to actually change things and to, you know, like how it's in our interest to kind of work with the people around us for our common needs and stuff. You know, that's what I want to see. But yeah, more or less that's kind of been covered already, so.
Social centre for me, it's kind of like, it's been an opportunity to meet a creative people. An anti-capitalistic kind of philosophy, kind of interested in filmmaking and film screenings. Sort of, you get a few places around England dotted about in pubs and strange buildings with sort of art screenings and playing around in multiple projectors and things like that. And I think it's not much of an opportunity in that many places going on that often. The social scene really kind of bring all creative kind of people. Kind of like interested in meeting people, kind of got experience of costume design and designing sets. So if you've got big buildings like this, and it gives you an opportunity to do that. So I think that's what kind of excites me about having that space to expand and discuss kind of things that make it happen.
I think it's been said a lot of times before, but personally, I'm from Sheffield. And I'd just like to see a space where people can express themselves openly. That's about it. A place that can like respond to the changes outside, but people can react to those inside freely.
I'd like to see lots of social centres in Sheffield so that we didn't have to travel from all across the city. So, I mean, hopefully this one might lead to there being more, like one in every neighbourhood. And I think if they are kind of more neighbourhood-based, it would involve a greater range of people in the community and would have a greater potential to lead to wider radical social change.
Yeah, I very much agree with like what you were just saying, that yeah, it's really important to be as local as possible because you don't really want to be travelling halfway across the city just to, like, you know, make autonomous decisions. So yeah, I just think it's important to have a space where anyone can come. There's no barriers, and you know, you can you can just feel free to say what you, well, say, express yourself and be yourself.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, to meet up and be able to sort of share your ideas, but also I think, like you were saying, you know, building up the skills base, because, you know, realistically, you know, we don't want it to be just all talk, you know, take something away, do something. I think sustainable agriculture is really important, because if you think about the amount of oil that is used in, you know, the consumption of our food, you know, general shops, supermarkets, and the fact that oil is kind of really in a bad way, and, you know, bad environment anyway, I think to look at it from that perspective and have ideas and courses maybe, you know, along those lines would be fine.
Talking about sort of like funding places and finding rent, how to buy buildings, is there any sort of talk of social centres supporting each other, or is any sort of examples of social centres which have been really successful and really profitable? Perhaps share that about a bit.
There is a social centres network which to varying degrees links up social centres within the UK. There's obviously social centres like in other parts of the world as well, and some degree of information exchange. There are a number of established social centres, and they do provide support for kind of up and coming ones. Some of them are members of Radical Roots, and that again is a body that supports co-ops, social centres, housing co-ops, workers' co-ops. And there are a number of newly kind of potential social centres in a few different cities, so Manchester being one, Preston, Cambridge, Glasgow. There's a few groups that are trying to set up social centres, and we're trying to kind of support each other through that process, which is kind of like in its very early stages. But yeah, the idea is so that not everybody has to continually reinvent the wheel, and that, you know, people can see, have seen from their experiences, some things work better than others. There are problems that come up repeatedly, so like not each group of people needs to learn those afresh every time. So there is a degree of support amongst the social centres. It could be better, but obviously by its nature, they are geographically separated in the main. I don't know, like Bradford's managing to sustain two. I don't know how many other cities that's going on. In London, there's like a Bort social centre, and then there's a number of, you know, short to medium to long term squatting social centres as well. But in the main, there's like a social centre in a city, so support between them kind of has to be quite deliberate. It doesn't happen accidentally. Yeah, but there are attempts at it.
Several examples as well of where a social centre and a housing co-op have come about at the same time in the same city, and those two things have supported one another. So in Nottingham, for example, there's a housing co-op at Sumac Centre, which are really close together on the same side of town, which came about at about the same time. So that yeah, sort of creates a bit more of a hub again, I guess, and they can share their experience. And also, to a degree, I guess it helps with money as well, because once the house has paid off its mortgage, they'll still be paying rent, and they can use that money then to support other co-ops.
Okay, any, we've kind of got like roughly 10 minutes. Are there any other points, or would people like to do anything with the last bit of the meeting? Any other questions, or where would we go from here in Sheffield, or what about having paid workers, as some social centres do? Is that a good idea, or should we, like, the whole bills thing sounds like a nightmare, should we just get a squat? Yes.
I think, like, they got busted really quickly, didn't they, last time? Do you think that was to do with the choice of buildings? Like, the landlords? I mean, is that like the general culture nowadays? Or if you chose a different, or if randomly you had a different building with a different landlord or something, would it be easier to swap longer term?
I mean, when you want to.
I think you're right. I think that's precisely the reason that they were so quick to mobilise and they had such vast resources, because it was the University of Sheffield, which is the largest employer in the city, and obviously has really strong links with all sorts of strong legal entities around the country. I think they always came up from London on the train to argue against us in our scruffy clothes in the courtroom, and then the NHS in Sheffield, which obviously can mobilise loads of resources. So I think precisely for those reasons that they were, although they were amazing places to be, and they maybe weren't there in terms of long term sustainability, then they weren't the places to be for a squatted social centre. What they did do was provide a space much like this is now, because this isn't ideal, this is own. And this is, although the guy who owns this has been fantastic and really accommodating, there's still things we'd like to do here that we can't, inevitably, because of the situation. It provides like a little island of how it can happen and get people in. There's lots of faces here that wouldn't come to the meetings in the Rutland that we have regularly, because they're not as exciting. There's not a lot of Skillshare going on, there's not a lot of events going on. So they did provide little sort of sparks of how it can be in the future. And that's what squatting does. It drains a lot of energy out of the group, because it takes, as Becky was saying earlier, it takes a lot of sustaining. Although it is probably the most autonomous way of doing it, and there have been some really successful examples throughout Britain previously. Maybe not so much these days, but people can sustain squats for a long time. And as Mike was saying, this is one of the emptiest cities in the country. There's hundreds, thousands of buildings, probably much like this, that wouldn't take more than a week of a big group of people just nailing it and setting it up, making it nice and comfortable, relatively, to get it going. So it is possibly there, but what it needs is a lot of people to come together with the same kind of ideas and an energy and a drive and a vision, and then it can be created.
We'll just get the right building where the owner doesn't want it anymore.
I think there are loads of buildings that the owner doesn't want anymore because they're not doing anything with them. They're empty and falling to rack and ruin. Maybe waiting for the opportunity.
Sorry. It's a chance.
Maybe. Yeah.
Find the right place.
Yeah. Did anybody say what would constitute a good place anyway? Just so that, I mean, what do we need in terms of size and stuff? Like, electricity and...
I mean, preferably a space where lots could be going on at the same time, you know, like not just kind of one big room or something, but lots of rooms, including a big space where you could have larger events like parties and gigs and that. Also like meeting rooms, like discussion places, maybe a library, maybe a separate cafe, that kind of thing. So we're talking a pretty big space ideally, but and you know, I don't think that's beyond kind of possibility either. I don't think that's necessarily too idealistic. You know, I think that's certainly what I'm kind of thinking about when I'm doing this project. So, yeah.
I think in terms of ideal space, it's always hard to say. I mean, I know that there's a place in, I think it's Edinburgh, called ACE, which stands for something, I can't remember what it is, but they're a social centre, and I think it comprised of just one room, and it's quite a small, and their main source of income is sort of funding and things. And then there's obviously bigger ones like the Sumac Centre have lots of stuff going on in all different places. But both of them have been around for a very long time, and both of them are relatively stable. So I guess in terms of size, it depends on the activities and how people are going to be getting money and things like that.
I think as well, we're at like a funny stage where if we find like we're in the early stages, so what we have can adapt. Like, and if we found the building that we could be in and stay in, then we could adapt what we did with it to suit the building. Like if it was a great building that we could be in and stay in, we've got initiative and ideas and creativity, we could make whatever building we had where I think we're not asking for much if we're talking about spotting a place, just that we have the skills to make it habitable, and then from there we can just continue as we would doing whatever we wanted and just making it possible in that space. And then if we're buying a place, then it's the same issue again. Do we find the building that is affordable and in the right place, and that we really like the building, and then decide what we can do with that space? Or do we write a really specific list of everything we really want to happen in the building, and then find an imaginary building that has all those things? I think it's probably going to happen the other way around, that we'll find a building and then make it work.
Does anyone have any thoughts on what area of the city would be ideal? Because obviously the city centre is most accessible to everybody, but is it necessary? I mean, obviously it's also more expensive than the rest of Sheffield, so does anyone have any thoughts on, obviously, yeah, as you were saying, we can't say exactly, you know, ideally we want a building here and it's got to be like this, because we probably won't get that, but, you know, is there anywhere which people think would be a good starting point, if you see what I mean?
City centre would be ideal. Kind of thing, kind of like you're saying, reaching out to communities going mainstream, what kind of communities can be most adaptive, and what kind of people are they trying to reach out to in the mainstream as well, thinking about where we're at. So, to think about.
Okay, we need to wind up, I'll just take Mike's point, and then we need to wind up just because we've got another workshop about to happen. And just bear in mind that we do meet regularly in the Buckland, as has been said, we might not meet there forever. The best way of finding out what we're doing and where we're meeting and when the next meeting is to look at the website, which is sheffieldsocialcentre.org. The next meeting is on Sunday the 7th of November in the upstairs room at the Buckland pub. And Mike Wilson.
Well, I was just thinking of, like, in terms of area. I mean, ideally, the space that we have eventually will not be just like a kind of an activist ghetto kind of thing, you know what I mean? Or like a student ghetto, which would be even worse, I think. But, you know, like somewhere that a working class community could actually find useful for itself, you know, and actually do things that, you know, they deemed helpful to their own lives, you know. So, in that sense, something real that's actually going to have a real benefit to just normal people, you know.
Any final points on any of that? Otherwise, please do come and get involved. It is the wheels are chugging quite slowly in terms of getting the permanent space, but they are chugging, they are moving forward, and it's quite likely along the way that we will do other smaller scale short-term events like this, because they're inspiring and they are, you know, worthwhile doing in and of themselves. Whether or not at the end of the day in 10 years time we have a social centre, events like this along the way are still worthwhile. Yeah.
When we have a social centre, events like this will still be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because I know this is not a spot, but previously have been, and have spot in a venue is a good thing to do in itself, and also frees you up to do lots of other things that you can't do in somewhere that's owned by someone, even if it's you. Yeah.
Is there any sort of footwork that we can do, like, you know, that you could suggest or any of you can suggest we do to get anything done or make inquiry ourselves. That helps to normally keep the thing going, if we've got things we can get on with rather than wait for the next meeting.
So one thing that everyone can do is keep their eye out for buildings around the city. I mean, people go all over the city every day, with different directions, different areas. People know different areas better. People have different relationships with property owners. And if everyone kind of just keeps their eye out a little bit, it helps us out a lot. So what it comes down to, I remember the process of finding this came down to about two people, I think. His job it was to search out somewhere from the whole of the city. It's quite a mission.
How are you meaning, if you find a building, how are you meaning to get the people together or the utilities or things you need to get in there? Have you got a group of people that are on it all the time and willing to stay in a building or to squat a building and see that?
I think that group of people sort of growing like as we go along.
So you've always got a source of people that are willing to hold down the building, know their legal rights, and know.
No, but we need it.
That's what's needed. There needs to be a clear group of people that are there on call. Like if anything needs to be done or if it's something. You want to do an immediate direct action for any cause or event or anything that comes up in the future that's planned or something that comes up in an emergency, it would be good to have a small group of people who are ready to do that on call.
I guess the issue is, in order for action to be taken, you need some kind of inspiration, you need to have something going in the first place. I think as soon as there's more and more real...
You've got that here.
That's precisely what we're doing.
That's what I'm asking is that, for me, I can see a lot of people here, but I don't necessarily know how to contact or communicate or find the people that might be needed if the time comes when that is. Does that make sense?
Well, there is a group of people that has kind of formed, and it's a bit loose.
Well, have you got a people on the internet? Is there a phone number?
There is a website, and the website has a point of access through it, so you can. It's got for contact.
But there's only a certain amount of information you really want to put on that.
Yeah.
Depending on what the subject is, really.
Sure. But the next meeting is always put on the website. As well, so if you want to come and have face-to-face contact, then the next meeting will be listed there. The thing is, it's not, if it had to happen more immediately than that, then this probably isn't the collective. To organise this weekend took about 4 months. So this is not a group that does something within 3 days. That's not what we're about. This is like took a lot of planning, publicity, and thought about the politics, the content, and what we want to be going on. And the process is important as well to actually think about what you're doing and not that's just move the headless chicken action as well. And we have to finish this meeting, and we have finished. Yeah, thank you. Okay, and people might just want to have 2 minutes to wander around to get some circulation going. The next meeting that's going to be happening in this space is about achieving radical change and different perspectives on that. Thank you.